always reminding someone of the time.
All right, we'll go ahead and start. Andy's not here, so I'm running this big machine. It's the end of the month. We were talking all month about being about our Father's business. And since it's the end of the month, tonight is questions and answers. So, anyhow, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
As always, so nice to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. I hope that that is finally sinking into your consciousness so that you will absolutely firmly believe that. You must start with a firm foundation. And a firm foundation means that you know that you are a creative person, you know that you are one with God, you know that you are always lovable, you are always matter, and you're worthy and deserving. Those are the foundations that you must stand on in order to have a wonderful life. Do not let your mind or somebody else talk you out of that. It's all done by a firm foundation, and that's a firm foundation in your thinking. You must think great things about yourself. And we're never taught that. Or we're waiting for somebody else to tell us how great we are. Don't wait for other people to tell you how great you are, how worthy you are, anything. Do that for yourself. You'll save a great deal of anguish in your life. All right. With that said, does anyone have a question? Mr. Journey.
Well, I apologize for having missed one or maybe two this week. But I have and this may have been something that you've already talked about. And if it is so, I'll tell me to shut up.
No, we never tell people to shut up.
And, but I'm just curious about, is there a way to know clearly that what you're doing is your Father's work?
Yes.
Or your own ego kind of work? How can you be clear of what
that? Oh, how can you be clear if it's your ego?
If it's your Father's work.
Or if it's your Father's work that you are back or you are about. Well, the ego is always going to be forcing you and forcing and forcing you to do something. When you're about your Father's business, it's the light, airy type of thing. There's no push, there's no pull, there's none of that. So you're usually, you can tell the ego, anytime you get upset, anytime that you get disturbed and so forth, that's all the ego doing that to you. So when you're about your Father's business, look around and see how your life is going. Are you angry? Are you upset? Are you disturbed most of the time? That's the ego doing that to you. That help you?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Sue.
Why is it the ego when you get upset? Why is that the ego?
Why is that the ego? Because if you're about your Father's business, you never get upset. Because in the mind of God, there's only harmony, there's only peace, there's only serenity. So anytime you're not experiencing that, it has to be coming from your ego mind.
If someone is accusing you of things that are not right,
what do? You say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. You must not take anything that people say to you personally.
I'm just so upset I can't even think.
Well, that's the ego upsetting you because it's running a non-stop story, is it not? You're grudging.
But if someone accuses you of something that you would never do.
Well, if you would never do it, then why would you even get upset?
Because for them to think that, they hardly know you. And it's like...
Well, what other people think about you is none of your business.
I know that. But because they thought of me, something happened. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, and it's a very tricky little thing there, but you allow your mind, you see, to tell you all that and come up with all this other stuff, and you must just let everything go.
I allow my mind to tell me what?
You allow your mind to tell you that you're upset. Your mind says they shouldn't have treated me that way, you're saying. Anytime you think, oh, well, they should never treat me that way.
So no matter what someone says, if they say horrible things, you shouldn't get upset.
You should never get upset. You know who you are. Doesn't matter what people say. It's what you think about yourself.
Yes, but if what they say alters the course of, you know what I'm saying?
Well, if what they say, if you take what they
say. What their opinion has altered the course of my life.
Has? Why?
In a way, yeah.
Why would you ever allow anybody else's opinion to be more important than your own?
That's not what I mean.
Well, it sounds like that.
No, but because they think of me, they're stopping something.
You want that. Everyone to love you, and that's an impossibility.
No, I don't. I only want a few people.
You only want a few people. Well, you always want the wrong people to love you.
No, we're not talking. Not who you think it is.
I'm not thinking anything.
I told you about the dog and the girl and sending you that horrible email, and because she has that opinion of me, she's not letting me have a dog.
Yes, well, there's nothing you can do about that but love her.
I do, but I want to send her an email telling her.
Say, I understand exactly. The only way to win anything is to get off the battlefield. The only way to win anything is to look at the person and say, you're absolutely right.
Then she never let me out. You're absolutely right.
Well.
Like, I'm going to return the dog after 2 months. I'm going to tell him he's right.
You already returned the dog, didn't you?
What?
Did you already return?
She made me return it because she said she's going to take it to the vet. And I haven't adopted it yet.
She lied.
She accuses me that if I adopted it, I return it 2 months. So to tell her she's right, that's kind of... I wouldn't.
No, you won't. And so you'll spin the rest of your life. That's the way the mind works.
But to tell her you're right is not telling her yes.
Well, what are the choices in life? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
I want to be happy. But I'm not going to tell someone they're right when I wouldn't even do what they're saying, accusing them.
No.
Could she say something like, I don't think I would return it after 2 months, but you're right.
How about back off, bitch?
I don't call people names. I don't call people names.
Oh, son. Try it. You'll like it. It's a difficult situation, but it's only in your mind, and I don't care what the person said. Now your mind has gotten a hold of that, and it's causing all the trouble. Your mind. So you have to work through that somehow. And the best way is to sit down and forgive them, for they don't know what they do.
In fact, I wrote a little thing, and it was really, you know, I told her, but then I said I'd keep you in my heart, and I'd send you love and compassion.
No, I don't know if you want to go that far.
That's what I do. Even if I tell someone I don't like what they did, I still say nice things like that.
Well, don't you think that's sort of passive-aggressive? Don't you think that's passive-aggressive?
Well, it might sound like it, but I'm going to tell them, you know, I don't like something, but I still have good thoughts for them.
Yes. Well, why don't you say, I wouldn't have done it that way.
I wouldn't have done it that way?
You wouldn't have done it that way, you see. But they did it that way, so there's nothing to do. You want people to do things your way.
I just don't want to be accused of something I would never do. That's hurtful.
Why is it that's your ego? that gets hurt.
I know. I think
the mind of God cannot get hurt. Okay? Work on it just a little. It'll take a while. I wouldn't give it more than 20, 30 years.
No.
You're welcome. Anyone else have a question? The mind is very strange, and all our minds work differently. And yes, we don't like people to say damn things about us, and we don't. But when you get hurt, they didn't hurt you. It's your mind that's hurting you. You're hurting yourself. You know? So now you're in prison. And why are you in prison?
You,
yes, you put your yourself
in
prison.
Prison in your mind.
Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering when you said, but when you said, but when you get hurt, well, that's your ego.
Yeah.
But is it because
it's a learned?
I mean, why does it hurt? Why would?
Because you have built up an image of yourself. And now that image has been shattered by somebody, by your own thoughts and so forth. So that's very painful and very hurtful. So don't build up images of yourself. Does that help? No coos here. My goodness, two new people tonight. Monk has back for the first time in months, and this.
And I'm leaving early too. We
have. I guess it's. There's Rose. This is Lisa for the people who don't remember. Her hair has grown since we last saw.
Short, long, short, long.
It's questions and answers. So if you have a question, please. Yes, dear.
I am so interested and puzzled by religions prior to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure of the years that, because some people said all this Christianity thing happened in the second century, not the first. So my timing of all of it is off. Yeah. I don't understand when all of it happened.
Well, I don't understand when all of it happened either. But the philosophy was around long before Jesus. We had the Essenes, and they were far before Jesus. We also had tons of religious people in India that were far ahead of Jesus. Jesus took over simply because we grasped onto those ideas. And we held that up by killing off all the people that opposed him. That's exactly what happened. You know, they just slaughtered. They slaughtered the Essenes.
Who slaughtered?
The people who wanted to put Jesus first and Christianity first. Christianity has always killed people off. Constant.
Violent religion.
Pardon?
Violent religion.
It's a very violent religion. And the other thing about Christianity is not a life-affirming religion.
No, I said violent.
I know. Oh. But I'm telling you also that it's not life-affirming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't affirm life. It affirms afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a life-affirming religion. Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that, but you have to know those things. You know. But you know, my friend Doug the Baptist, he's waiting to get to heaven, so he'll get all his rewards and so forth. So he's proud that he suffers here. Because that means the reward in heaven is going to be bigger. Now, who made up that twaddle?
Yeah, I have a girl that said to me a couple of weeks ago, aren't we all trying to get to heaven?
Yeah, well, that's a bill of goods that we have been sold, that we have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to wait. You can have heaven right here on earth. You have to start to see it. And you have to start to do it here. You know, most people are waiting. Oh, well, everything will be all right once I get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
No. You take your consciousness with you wherever you go. And when the physical body dies, it does, the consciousness does not change. The consciousness stays the same. If you don't learn on this plane of action, you're not going to learn on the next plane of action. Which is the story when Betty Davis heard that Joan Crawford died. She said, doesn't mean she's changed. And a lot of people think, oh, and remember we're told, don't talk about dead people, you know, think of the good things, you know. They didn't change. If you don't change here, you're not going to change. So take this opportunity, this life that you have now, to think these things through and to sort out the different things. There's nothing wrong with Christianity. There's nothing wrong with any of these religions, but you've got to sort through them. And if they're helping you in any way, then do it. But most of the religions are not helping people in any way, shape, or form. They're out to get your money.
What is your opinion about tithing?
Well, I think tithing is an absolute wonderful thing, but people use it as a gimmick. And, you know, if you want to prime the pump with tithing, that's a great thing to do. But you have to tithe to the right institution, the right person. You tithe where you get your spiritual thing. That, well, I'll tell you a minute about Doug the Baptist. He was in the Baptist church 30-some years, and he always gave a tenth of his salary. So he gave him a great deal of money. So one day I said to him, well, Doug, you know, the Baptists hate homosexuals. You're a homosexual. And you're supporting an organization that is against you. Why would you do that? You see, but giving all that money is not going to change people's minds and say, oh, it's all right, you can be homosexual because you get lots of money. No, it's not going to work.
What was his response?
Oh, he never, he thinks I'm nuts.
He didn't respond to that.
No, he can't respond to those things. You know, one time we were in Europe walking and he was going on about heaven and all this, and Christiane and I said, Duck, what would you do if I told you I wasn't a Christian? Well, he stopped in. He grabbed his chest on the street and said, oh my God, Dallas, don't tell me that. That would mean we wouldn't spend our eternity in heaven together.
So guess where I
was gone, right? I was going and he was going. He was going. Yes, oh God. So yeah, well, you have to use your mind. And what happens in these religions, they ask you to dumb down. And you cannot dumb down, you see. And in this teaching, Ernest Holmes always suggests you must have an open mind, but not that open that your brains fall out. And a lot of people, their brains fall out. So. Anyone else? Miss Christine?
Well, I was interested in what you were talking about, where when it's your self-will, you're pushing yourself to do things. Because I do find myself doing that.
Yeah.
You know, keep busy and do things. So to get into God's will, how would one go about?
Well, I would sit down and say to myself, now, well, what is God's will for me? And if I'm pushing myself, am I saying, oh, I'm stronger and no more than God? See, most people think they know more than God. That's why they do all those crazy things instead of saying, I'm going to hand this over to you. you tell me, you show me, and this thing called God, whatever you want to call it, will do that for you.
And I'll know.
You'll know, absolutely. But see, we all think and that's a learned habit, especially in this country, to push, 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 and think that that's God's will. I think you did that. Push, 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 thinking it was God's will.
Just recently?
Yeah. Well, you probably did it more than just recently.
Every time.
We won't get into it. No. We're working together.
Did you say forgive, you meant discipline?
Well, that's another one. It's a balancing act with all these things, you know. It's a balancing act always. What is my will? What is this, you know? But you have to sit down also and remind yourself that God's will for you is always good and greater good. Always good or greater good. And you put yourself in a situation where it's not good, that cannot be God's will.
Back to the
tie-in. Oh, yes.
So, primarily I go to you, or at least for a while, periods of time, you really were my spiritual strength, you really were my spiritual guidance. And not to be awkward or put you in an awkward position, but should I have been tied into you? Do I owe you money?
I'll
start now, because I don't want to go to hell.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll wait a second. But I mean, really, I mean, if you think about it, because I am for many years.
Tithing,
I haven't been tithing any place.
Right.
So if tithing brings about more prosperity,
oh, it always
then
brings
I'm
about.
Getting my spiritual enlightenment, well, right. Spiritual guidance from right. You as a minister.
You know where the idea of tithing came from, right?
No.
From the Egyptians.
Well, but it came from the farmers.
From the farming.
They always, you always had to hold back 10% mm-hmm. of your crop so that the next year you'll get a crop again. If you mm-hmm. don't do that, you're not going to get a crop. You see?
Well, so if I give you 10%, then if I go broke, can I get it back?
Yeah. But you won't go broke. You see, you won't go broke.
Well, I have noticed it comes back in different ways.
It always will come back to you.
Maybe not the way a spectrum game.
Well, that's the next thing about God's will and so forth. Because we think, oh, well, I have to get this back this way or that way, you know. And I can tell you story after story about tithing and doing things. Anytime you're giving something, a gift or anything to somebody, that's a tithe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tithe, you know. Now, I'll tell you the story about my friend Betty. Betty was very frugal. I loved Betty. Very, very frugal. I knew the stock market quite well, by the way. But there was a Joyce Reynolds, a friend of mine, the one I talk about that's a motivator of one or a thousand, was doing a seminar someplace, and I said to Betty, I'm going to take you to that seminar. And this was so many years ago, the seminar for the weekend was $50, and it included room and board.
Wow, that was years ago.
That was years ago. Years ago. So anyway, there was Betty, when she made her transition, said to her husband, you must take care of Dallas. Now, in the time that he was taking care of me, it had to come to over $12,000. Over $12,000. So you plant $50 out there and you get $12,000 back. Now, I had no idea that that was ever going to happen. I never planned for that. I never knew that that was ever going to happen. Because when I do the tithing, there's the part of tithing that people get into. They think it's a gimmick and that, oh, I'm going to do this, so then that has to come. Not necessarily. A lot of people don't get it back because they're using it as a gimmick. You see, and they then they think, oh, I'm going to give you $100, $1,000 is going to come back to you. No, because you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You're not giving for the sake of giving somebody. Just give it to them, and it'll come back. And not worry from what source that things are going to come back to you.
Do you need to have a specific giving heart to tithe? Is that to continue manifesting or trust or faith?
Well, in life, it's always
so
your heart.
You shouldn't do it just because you think it's the right thing and God wants you to.
Oh, my God, no. When people said yes, see. And that's exactly what Doug did. Doug the Baptist. He gave because he thought, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Well, the man is practically bankrupt today.
Well, right now we're taking this class on manifesting. And James has a totally different concept of tithing than I have.
Yes.
And I go with what I believe. He believes that you should tithe to a specific organization,
yes,
or whatever, that is spiritually stimulating you.
Yes.
And I believe that it should, well, I give spiritually.
Right.
But I don't give to one person,
yes,
or one organization.
Yeah, that's it. You don't have to.
You're on my list of
people. Yes, but that's it.
There are several people I tithe to.
Yes, you don't have to be. It's just, it's putting something out there and letting it come back to you.
Opening the doors.
And open, absolutely.
But this month,
but you
took
all of your, I think, Edwina Gaines,
yes,
workshop.
Yes.
I've known her for, I thought she was dead, in fact, because when I knew her, she was old. So she must
she's
be much
still,
older.
She
still doesn't, and she still does the same old thing.
Same.
Exactly. I could go right down the line and know exactly what's going to come out of her mouth.
Exactly.
But she goes all around the country,
mm-hmm,
with that same seminar that she does on tithing. And when she does it in a church and something, for the that Sunday and the next couple Sundays, the revenue goes up.
Absolutely.
But then
it goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. People tithing out of guilt.
Yes. That's another one. That you have to use balance and wisdom and stuff with what you're doing, you know. And you give things without any strings attached and so forth,
mm-hmm,
you know. You just give it without strings, not thinking that, oh, well, now I'm going to get this. I never think I'm going to get anything back, you know.
I enjoy giving.
Yes. It's the joy of giving. And to say, aren't I blessed that I have enough,
yes,
money to give?
Exactly.
It's always, you should have enough money to spare and to share.
Well,
you
I
see.
Like that,
money to,
that's
all,
money to spare and to share.
And to share. But see, most people have no money to spare and they have no money to share.
Mm-hmm. That is something to think about, isn't,
yes,
it?
So when you have money to share and to spare, oh, I say, look how blessed I,
yes,
am. See, you know, and that's not a gimmick. You're doing that because something wells up from inside of you, the gratitude and so forth wells up, and you don't run out that way.
Yeah.
You know. But so we're so automatic with these things. We think, oh, well, if I get, you know, this. No, you have to have. Well, I don't hate to say that. Let's say it's mysterious, and let it be mysterious. Don't try to figure the whole thing out. Let it be mysterious. And in your life, you all had that, didn't you? Get things from people you never expected.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Reciprocity.
Yes. And that's a law, you know, the law of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the mental laws.
How does it go?
how's reciprocity go?
I mean, is there a sentence, reciprocity?
No, there's no sentence.
Yeah. You give, you receive.
Yeah, give and receive. Yes, reciprocity. And there is wonderful, if you want, Frederick, I believe his name is Frederick. Can't remember his last name at the present moment, but it's Frederick. And it breaks down the laws of the universe, and it breaks down, you know, because we're always talking about the law of attraction, but no one talks about the law of reciprocity, you see. And I had that book. I lent it to somebody. It never came back to me. They must have liked it. But it's a wonderful book. And it's from one of the older, clear back like Florence Shinn and those people. And that's who Edwina Gaines reminds me of, was Florence Shinn.
She's been around for a long time.
Oh, my. I thought she was 103 when I knew her. And she's still around doing things. So.
With that southern accent.
Yeah, absolutely. Monk, nothing? No question at all?
No, I just come here for the ambience.
All right. And all the love.
And the room temperature.
Yes, and the room temperature. You don't have a question here, young man?
What's your take on spirits? Angels, stuff like that.
Oh, very good. You should ask this woman. She's always seen spirits and angels.
What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I just think there are realms that in this time of life we don't see. There's a veil or whatever. Unfortunately, I see them. Unfortunately, I see them. Don't go away or anything. But, you know, it's hard to... Are you seeing them? Is that a question, or is it coming up?
I get them. You know, get them periodically, and it's just been interesting. Yeah. It happened today, and it's pretty cool. And
what was it? What was it?
It's for me to know.
You're not sharing. I want to know.
No, I went for I was on routes for a hike, and then just out of nowhere, because my mother passed away. It'll be 11 years this year, and the strongest scent of her perfume was in the air.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, Mom. I said, so, you know, I just stopped and said, hey, Mom. I said, what do you want to tell me something here? You know, and my sister had it, different dealing with this, 2 weeks ago, and she called me. You know, and so it's just been like this constant, you know.
Well, you know, consciousness does not die, and all these things do not die. There's such an energy forms. They're all around us everywhere. My mother was not religious in any way, shape, or form. She had cancer. And she told me afterwards, she said, I knew that I would be all right when they operated something in, you know, the intestinal tract. And I said, oh, really? She said, yes, because my father came into the room. Now, grandfather was dead, and said, Alma, you're going to be all right.
There's a great book we read. Did you give me that book about the two nuns? There's a great book on that. I'll research and try to remember about
it. There
were
like,
two nuns, one was... They were psychic, and then they said, if I pass over, I'll try to let you know what, you know, get in touch with it, which is kind of not really, the church wasn't super cool with that right back then, but there was a group of psychic, you know, metaphysical people, and anyway, she did, and she documented several books on it. I found it in the Bodhi tree.
Yes, which is gone.
Which is gone, but the beautiful part, I bought every last copy I could and gave it out to people. It was one of the best.
Right.
On that topic.
The other, if you want to know about spirits or energy and stuff coming, hospice nurses find it all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful book out called Near Death Experience, a nearing death experience, I believe it is. And it's the experiences that the nurses had taking care of people. And that they would, you know, the one man, I distinctly remember the one story, he said, oh, I'm going to be fishing with Johnny. And that was a friend of his who died 10, 15 years, you know, prior to that. But he had seen Johnny and they were going fishing together. So, you know, those things happen. We're told not to know those things. We're told not to because, oh, you know, if I were, when I was a child, if I'd told those people things, they would have locked me up in the state hospital, you know. They would have said, there's something wrong with you. You have to go to the hospital, Josh. You cannot have those experiences, you know.
Yeah, I was told his son the devil.
Yes, well, of course, if you could. And the church
doesn't. Not to do that. Well, of course, I also knew better.
Right.
To believe that it was
right.
From the devil.
Well, churches don't want you to know any of that kind of stuff.
I think they're slamming this movie that's out, too. Heaven is for Real or something like that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
The church is.
Several religious groups are saying it's been fabricated. It's supposed to be a true story of the little boy who died and gave his account. Of who he saw and people he talked to, but he had no idea of this.
I don't know why they're so afraid of all that kind of stuff.
It shocks me that people don't even believe it. I'm like, really, in this day and age, with so many documented cases, you really don't are going to be so ignorant, at least to not allow for the possibility.
Yeah. And what do we know about possibility?
There are endless possibilities.
With God, all things are possible.
Okay, I know those three things. I was prepared.
I think that's the only thing I'm prepared for. Interfere with their religious beliefs. That's what.
Well, it interferes with their doctrines and so forth. You see, there are many priests. I think I've told you that before. Who are metaphysicians, but they have to stay in the closet. Because they'd be thrown out of the priesthood. What's wrong with most religions, and especially the priesthood and so forth, you have to put yourself in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot think out of the box, because if you're thinking out of the box, then it's going to be the devil or somebody else, because it didn't come from the higher people. You see. But we do that to ourselves all the time. But these institutions love to do that to you, you see. But all things are possible. Why wouldn't you open your mind to everything that's going on? Scents and so forth. Yes, when you smell a scent, you know the person's around.
Yeah.
See, people want to see the whole thing. Remember, if you believe in the story of the resurrection, the people saw Jesus, but they only saw an image of Jesus. They did not see a full body like we have, a hard, solid body. They only saw an image, remember? Because they could put their hand through him, remember?
Oh, that's what they meant when they said they could put their hand through
him. Yes.
Oh, where's that?
It's in the Bible with that movement. Yeah. Uh-huh. But most people think that Jesus, the resurrection, came back as a full body. No, he came back as a spirit that had enough energy around it to form a body, but it was not solid.
And how many people viewed this? How many people saw this?
Well, I think the two Marys both saw it, yes.
I just want to mention, I saw a ghost 3:30 in the afternoon, plain to say, 10 minutes, not even 2 minutes after my husband went to them. And it was real. I mean, it was like a physical form.
Yeah.
Then when Jerry stood where the ghost was standing, I could see that there was a difference, but in time and space, it was very real. It's the first time I'd ever seen one. I've never seen something like that.
Yeah.
There wasn't just a vision, but I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not
scared.
They don't take solid.
The ghosts are scared.
I'm like, I'm the one that should be scared here.
Yeah.
you're seeing an angel.
But we all have that, you know.
Yeah, we all
goosebumps, anything like that is a message. It's something going on. I don't see things like you see, well, but I get impressions, and I can see things out of the corner of my eye and so forth.
That's annoying, too.
Yeah, well, you have to get used to it.
Well, after I had a concussion is when I saw that ghost. It wasn't done something in my head where I could see it, you know, better than I had.
Absolutely. But don't poo-poo all that stuff. I mean, learn to live with it and see what you can do with it. So that's all. You see, we think we know everything, and there's so much that we have yet to know. And as I always say, what we think we know, we say, well, I know 100%. No, you only ever know 1% of anything. There's room for all the rest of it to go on. But we come to a consensus all the time, and because we want this world to stay the way we think it is, we all come to that agreement to hold it here.
It makes sense. You want it to make sense.
Yes.
Well, I know that there are things happening, that this is not all empty spaces.
Right.
This is not an empty space.
No.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, they knew that now, and they call it dark energy, and everything comes from this dark energy and so forth. Years ago they were only interested in physics and so forth. They were only ever interested in solid particles and like the atoms and so forth. But now they know that the atoms and the all come from the space around it. The space around anything is always more important than the thing. The space around us here is more important. It's the space that's making all of this. It comes from that. Some people call it the gaps. It's in the gaps where everything takes place.
In the gaps.
Yeah. So let your mind open, you know, to those things. And here again, ask this thing called God. Is this, you know, because we're taught that we see those things and so forth, that we're crazy, we're going to be locked up, or look how many people were burned as witches and so forth because they saw something different. You can't, you know, so sort of made people say, well, I better keep my mouth shut, or though, you know.
Yeah, we would all in this room be in so much trouble.
Oh my God, yes. Up we'd go. But most witches, you've seen, were mostly women. And they took advantage of that.
Witches?
Yeah. Well, men took advantage of that because, and if you look at the witches had property and they had money, and the man wanted the property and they had them, and wanted the money, so they burnt the woman to get the money and the property.
Poor women, we're always put upon.
Absolutely. So. Questions? Any party? No.
What's next month going to be on?
Oh, Sue, what's next month's topic?
I have it written down. I don't have it memorized.
I have it written down.
Is it up to you? Is that what it is?
I don't think so. But I have it on my desk.
I have it. I'm going to be sending an email later.
Yes, okay.
I'm going to get on the email list, okay, Steve?
Sure.
Are
you
not?
I don't get
anything.
Okay.
I get nothing.
Well, isn't that awful? Isn't that awful?
I have a question of my degree of spirituality, because I'm not getting all this. I don't get angels, or I don't get anything.
All right. Well, that's fine.
And even I have difficulty
Visualize.
No, I can visualize. Oh, God. It's something we all do. Meditate. Yeah. I'm still going to sleep.
But that's all right. Just keep trying it, and one day you will not go to sleep. Everyone thinks it's so important to meditate. I only meditate maybe 3 or 4 minutes at a time. I don't do it for, like, Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer said they do it for 8 hours a day. I'd like to know how they get around to writing a book, is what I'd like to know, if they meditate all that time. So, don't worry about that. You're perfect just the way you are, my dear. You're not. Now, we're always, you know, we think, oh, well, I don't see things the way Lisa sees things. I see things and feel things the way I feel things. But I don't put myself down for that. You have a tendency to think, oh, I have to be like everyone. No, you have to be like yourself.
Well, they give these spiritual prayers, and they're just so elaborate. So
yes, but that's the that's ego.
Who gives them?
Half the church. They give elaborate spiritual prayers.
You know, here's what I was taught. God is intelligent, and you must talk to God intelligently. You don't go around the corn crib all the time like some of these people. They do that to impress you. And they're trying to impress their own self. When you do a treatment, you do it till you change your mind. Nobody else's mind. You're not there to impress other people. You see? And they love, oh, he's so spiritual, he can give that wonderful treatment, you know.
Elaborate.
And I doubt he's spiritual.
One thing, Dallas, that you taught me, and I use it. Well, actually, you couldn't teach me anything if I wasn't prepared to learn.
Right.
So I allowed you to learn from you. You don't have to try harder, be more, do more. And that puts up more blocks from receiving, I found, when I work like a mouse or the tread, you know, the wheel. And then if I just relax, I am.
Yes.
The way I am. I don't have to keep being a better person.
Relax into it. And I've told you this so many times. God never asks you to try harder. God asks you to believe more.
Oh, I've got to write that down. It's in my Bible, but I didn't bring my Bible. My Dallas Bible.
Have it? God never asks you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. This you can use with your the will and so forth, you see.
I forget, you know. And that's the thing, like, I'm not coming every week.
Well, these things go in and out. This is a very nebulous teaching. I have to sometimes strain. Why do you think I have all these 3x5 cards? I have to go through them sometimes. Well, because it gets out of my mind, all the stuff. But I've been doing this for years, and I can pull many things up that other people can't pull up, you know.
Well, I think we also, I've got to start listening to your lectures online. All these things I forgot. Well, it's so much easier when I'm practicing.
Well, of course, because you see, the world is very convincing, and it pulls you right out of that. You're saying it's always gnawing away at your mind, the world. Don't allow it to do that. All right, we have time for one more question.
Talk about visualizing, because I've been, I've always had a little tough time visualizing, and just since I did the job, since I made that firm statement, I'm finding it now all of a sudden, it's coming to me. Visualizing, I'm feeling it a little more, and I'm also, you hear all this stuff, you can do it for 2 minutes, you should do it for 5 minutes, all of a sudden I said, you know what, if I do it for 30 seconds, if that's good for me, that's good for me.
That's it.
You know, and how I try to, I find I'll just visualize on one specific thing, and I do it every morning now. And I'll just take one specific thing, say, all right, visualizing whatever car that I happen to desire, or the house, or the money, or anything like that, you know?
Right.
And I've been getting a little bit more, not outlining, but I've been getting more detail.
Yes.
And feeling what it feels like. You know, it's, and we've talked about that for years, and now it's just, all of a sudden it's clicking.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really clicking.
Well, sometimes it takes a while for these things to click in, but just keep doing it. The same way if you're meditating.
Yeah.
One day you'll go into it, and oh my goodness. You know. Yeah. And the same way with visualizing, you just keep adding to it, to your mind. It's an exercise, people. The mind is a muscle, and we don't use it. We have to exercise that muscle so that we can do those things. No. That's all there is to it. By the way, it's Jerry's birthday today.
Happy birthday. You were 4 too.
Happy birthday.
All of
us today.
Today? April 28th.
Oh, it was on the 21st of Sunday. But yours is what?
Today, the 28th.
April 28th.
The 28th, today.
Oh, that's the fourth month. Yeah. Is
there? Oh, yeah. No, I'm on vacation.
Oh.
No, I actually have concussions. Things like that don't work for me anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm enjoying the four. Okay, so that, I'll have to think of
4/28/49.
And I'm 4/21/38.
Oh. So,
last
I'm
week was
65,
your birthday? And I'm 76.
Last week was
your birthday?
So in closing, let's remember the thing that we all forget. We're individualized expressions of this thing called God. And you cannot compare yourself to anyone. So what you are doing and the path that you are on is your path. Stay on that path. Everyone wants to jump on somebody else's path and think that that person, oh, that person is ahead of me in something. No one's ahead of you in anything. No one is ahead of you in anything. We're all growing. We're all learning. And that's what you want to know about yourself. And say to yourself, I'm open and I'm receptive to this thing. And I'm growing spiritually every day. I'm growing spiritually. So that you start to see the world differently through your spiritual eyes. Through your spiritual eyes. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.